I love about Oaks Church, and there's a lot. What's that song, Let Me Tell You All the Ways I Love You? Well, let me say this. Y'all are a worshiping church. And I don't know that if I ever get up here and I won't say thank you for worshiping. You know, I might have said this last time I was up here, but I get this. You know, man, the music's great, and, you know, worship's great. And I'm like, y'all, if the church, it's them. It's not us. It's them. They will suck you dry. They will ask you to sing as loud as you can every song that you know, and then they want more. And it just creates a wonderful atmosphere here. So let me thank you for that. Let me thank you for the ones that came out Wednesday night when we launched our first Wednesday. We've got a really specific, it's just a great time in the presence of the Lord and for praying, worshiping and praying for our community and just going through the prayer focuses. And it really is just the beginning of something that I really feel in my heart that just really feel led to do. And it just kind of slows down. And it's a great thing. And for the ones that were here, thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting that. But I'm really excited about Wednesday night. Really excited about life groups. And I'm going to actually talk a little bit about that this morning in our message. But today is not a normal, message, text, and we just go through the motions. It's different. Today we've come to dedicate this building. Today we've really come to maybe even rededicate our hearts, our lives. You know, I've gotten stuck on talking about the mission. You know, the last couple of days, maybe putting this together, it just really, it seems like I've gone back and forth with that word, the mission. It's like mission critical. I had driven around some areas of town lately that I don't normally drive around, and I just was taken back by where we're at. And I'm like, Lord, we need you. You know, I mean, I knew I needed you, but we really need you. I mean, what a testimony to the glory of God if we're starting to feel that burden. Let me tell you, we prayed about that Wednesday night. We prayed for you, for finances, for our church, for finances for your family, finances for our community. Lord, bring us jobs. You know, the Amazon's going right across the street. Lord, you can do that. He can absolutely change a community, and we can be the catalyst for that. The Lord can use what we're doing, sowing seeds of prayer, and just, again, just appreciate you all coming to that. Yeah, absolutely. I look forward. The online response, and let me tell you, for those watching online, now I decided I wasn't going to call my buddy out, but I see my buddy. I go to my favorite restaurant at least once or twice a week, and I get him every time I go because he always promises me he's coming. But he's watching us for sure because he told me who preached last week. And he watched the sermon, so I told him I wouldn't call him out by name, but Teddy knows who he is. And so I'm going to get a seat back there for Teddy, and we're gonna get him here. He's been here before, but we're going to get him here. And for all the others that are watching by live stream, y'all quit texting me, tell me you watch me. I need to see you here. Yeah, quit emailing me. I want to see you. I got to see your face. I might even hug you. And if you know me, you know how I am with hugs. It's a sacrifice of praise. But I might even do it. So I want to see your face here. And there is nothing. And look, this isn't like car salesman. This isn't me trying to talk you into something real. There's nothing like being in the room. There really isn't. And we've probably all heard that because I love the convenience of live stream. You know, my mom's been in Texas for 4 months. And she stayed connected with us because of live stream. So it's a wonderful tool. We have a lady in Rochester, Minnesota, who had emailed me a couple weeks ago. And it's a wonderful tool. But there's nothing like being here. There's nothing about feeling the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like seeing people's faces as the Lord ministers to them. So if you're watching, you keep watching. But I'll save you a seat right here. And we're going to get you here. So let's talk this morning about our building. I want to go over a few things and just we're not going to be long. Let me tell you what they did here. They started cooking them hamburgers for y'all ever got here. Let me tell you something. How cruel is that to be cooking? I don't quite smell it in here, but as soon as you walk out those doors, you smell it cooking. And they're actually going to make us sit in church while they do all that. So we're going to be quick. The quickest way to get me in and out of here is to offer me food. So it's a win-win. Let's talk this morning. Let's open up in prayer, and then we'll get going. Father, Lord, I thank you for what this day represents. Father, I pray that you are continue to be with us, Lord. I thank you because we felt your spirit. We felt your anointing during worship. Lord, I thank you for the things that you've already done in this place. Now, Father, please continue to move. Lord, and anoint these words, these thoughts that I have, And Lord, speak through me this morning. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, our concept of church should be founded in biblical truths. It's often, far too often, our model, especially now, has become based on maybe educational or military or even a corporate model. You know, we kind of like to find something that works out there and adapt it for here. Some of that is okay. Some of that is good. But you can't get too far from these principles. And I'm going to go through these pretty quick. There's really five things that I've written down this morning. And when we talk about a biblical model of church, there's really four things here that the Bible talks about. And it emphasizes a family. A church is a family. A church is a fellowship. A church is a body. It's a building. And it's a bride. So it's checking a lot of boxes. When I go through these five thoughts this morning, I want to talk about the meaning of church, the meaning of the body. What we call the church implies how we view it. The word church is used at least three ways in the New Testament. It's used to describe the Lord's church as the body of Christ. It's used as a building. Some would call it a bride. Every believer is a member of the Lord's church. The term also describes a local church, like this one. In Acts, the writers refer to local churches in geographical locations. Revelation 2:3 described the seven local churches in Asia Minor. We like to talk about those a lot. You'll preach a good sermon series on the seven churches, and we try to get you, we scare the booger out of you and try to get you right. Acts 15 uses the word to refer to the larger global church. Then I look at the metaphors. Paul uses the term body to describe the church. He reminds believers in Corinth that there's only one body, but there's many members. Peter uses the term building to describe the church. Just as there is one building and yet there's many rooms, so is there one church with many members. John uses the term bride to describe the church. Paul also uses that term to designate the nature of the church. The church will be adorned as a bride, beautiful and blameless. Now look at your neighbor and say, did he just call you beautiful? No, I did not. John did. I did not. Just talk about the ministries this morning. The ministries which denote the church. What does the church do? The Great Commission which Jesus gives us in the Gospels calls for evangelism. The church has the responsibility and we have the resources to share the gospel with every nation. That was really unimaginable. Even I can remember 30 years ago, my dad was really, church TV was a new thing. And we had cameras and that's where my first car went. It went to buying cameras and switchers and I didn't have a nice car, but man, did we have some cameras for the ministry, for gospel. And it was a new thing then. And we couldn't imagine then. It was like, well, if you have these satellites, some of y'all might be old enough to remember those satellites. They were as big as a car. And you know who had what kind of money if they had one of them in their yard. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have one in my yard. But I had friends that did. And we could imagine that we could share the gospel that way. But who would have ever thought that I can take my phone out of my pocket? Kids these days, my daughter's got a TV on her wall in her bedroom. She never turns on. She watches TV on her phone. Whatever she's watching is on this little bitty screen. And I'm like, I need a big screen. All of us older guys, especially for football, I gotta be able to see them little pixels of grass. But these kids these days, they want this little handheld device. But the truth of the matter is, I can talk to anybody anywhere at any time with what I hold in my hand. They say that there's more computing power in your cell phone than what it took to get to the moon the very first time. So it's possible now. We do it right here from Oaks Church. Right here, anybody can go to our YouTube channel and see every service we've ever done if the Lord was willing and we had good internet. You can do that. And so many other churches, I mean, it's just common. It's just part of what we do now. So it's possible. It's a ministry. We can fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission calls the church to discipleship. Having shared the gospel, the church has to teach those who believed all the things which Christ taught. Can I interject this? This is not here, but I've been refamiliarized with this term lately. I mean, it's just really stuck with me because we kind of get caught up in evangelism, really. I struggle with evangelism because I'm not naturally super outspoken. You know, I'm hot or cold. I either come in and you know I'm there, or I came in like a ninja and you were like, did anybody see him? It's one or the other. So I struggle with one-on-one. And sometimes evangelism looks like somebody is being caught and not taught. Some of you that struggle with that like I do, if you just live the life, if you live, people are watching you. I promise you, they're watching you. They're paying attention to how you respond to life's, everything that happens to you. You know, hey, I went through this horrible time, especially those that, you know, we'd like to pick on the big sins, the ones that everybody sees. But let me tell you what a big sin will do. Big sin sets up for a big victory. You know, don't get caught up on that. I'm glad church is in a little different position now. When I was a kid, it's different. It was different. Now I think we're a little bit deeper in the grace of God to know that, hey, stick with it. If you'll stick with it, we'll help you. We'll come alongside of you and help you carry you through this thing. So evangelism is possible. We can fulfill that. Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. Of course, I'm going to plug life groups right there, because that is the mission of Wednesday night life groups, is to have specialized ministry. And we've got several going on upstairs. We'll have one in here. We got kids, they're doing their own life groups. We got student ministry. I mean, we're home. We can do real church now. So that's also another thing we have to do, edify. Edification remains a key component to the ministry of the church. These are words we don't use a lot. You don't hear it because they tend to be a little more churchy. But I have to remind us this morning, when I start out, this is what we're here. We're here to edify. Edification is a key component because it builds up believers. When we come to church, and let me tell you something, I'm not selling you a car. I'm telling you, one of Oaks Church's greatest resources is you. Because when people come into Oaks Church, they say, that's the nicest church I've ever been to. Generally, that's what they say. They're the nicest people. And look, we lost, I was picking the other day, I was talking to somebody, and we lost all of our signs. Y'all remember we had the signs where you come in, we'd attack you with the signs and say, hey, you look beautiful today, and good to see you. We lost them somewhere in the move, so I had to order some more. So next week, when you come in, we'll get you with a sign. So we're going to get back to it. We have to equip the saints with our best effort. And I'm telling you, there's so many tools at our disposal today. Believers have to be fully furnished. This is where the church, this is where we struggle. Look, this right here, you find the right people, you can do this. This is the easiest thing to be done, really. The equipping of everyone because of the time it takes, because of the dedication it takes. And can I encourage you, don't feel like you got to figure it all out in 1 week. Dedicate your life to figuring out what the Bible says, what the Bible means. How do I live for Jesus? How do I become a better Christian? Don't overcomplicate it. Just day by day, live for the Lord. And if Tuesday you did great, Wednesday we got church, we'll get you back. We'll help you out. You should be able to come to these life groups. It's a smaller setting. And let me tell you what a smaller setting does. It's like with our worship team here, there's six or seven of them. And this happened this morning, that there's a special need in the group. And that's hard sometimes to minister to that special need from here, because I see so many faces looking back at me. Sometimes that's difficult. It's not hard when it's 7 or 8 or 10 or 12. That's how Jesus did it. And you can meet the need. And that's what's so important about life groups. Yes, there's the educational aspect of it, but then there's the personal touch. And it's important. And let me tell you something. This is an area that I believe Oaks Church is going to shine in, because y'all are the best people. I'm telling you. So y'all are like, why does he keep saying that? He's setting us up. I'm not. I'm just telling the truth, guys. Encouragement. Y'all got this. You are the encouragement. If you need some encouragement, I recommend stopping by and talking to Miss Kat Etheridge. That's all you got to do. Come on. If you need it, she got it. Y'all know it. She will smile at you for free, and she will give it to you. Never underestimate the power of a smile. Oh, I struggle with that. I got six things going on in my mind at all times. Right now, I'm trying to dial it back. And it's a real problem for me. And so I'm always thinking about something while I'm walking. And sometimes I literally say to myself, you're not smiling. And then somebody that you know is going to see you and they're going to think you hate them. And they're like, oh, he looks mad. I'm like, oh, I'm not mad. I'm thinking about my car I had when I was 16 years old for whatever reason. It's a struggle. So, hey, work on that. The next thing is the message. What distinguishes the church? The church has a unique message of salvation, sanctification. There's separation. We should talk more about that. Stewardship and service. I think the Lord has helped us with service. I think that's important. It's easy to get caught up in doing this and doing this because you need help doing that. We have serve team members that help us accomplish that. But again, this is easy. Hope Street Ministry is not. And there's so much more that I would love to do. There's so much more. I promise if we got ideas from you guys, things that would affect our community, things that would make a real difference for the kingdom. And we sow that into our community. You know, there's a real need here. And I'm really just feel like the Lord has poised us that we can meet this need. If we'll run, use what he's got, what we have in our hands. Service. The church's message is really divinely revealed because it encompasses the entire responsibility of human beings. Look, the easiest thing you can do is be nice. It really is. It's the easiest thing to do. You want to be a Christian? Be nice. Try hard. You know, I shouldn't tell this. I might get busted, but something happened yesterday, and I was with a couple of people. I'm not going to name them because I'll need their help again. But something was not going our way, and both of them, and one of them lives with me. I shouldn't tell you that. They're ready to put the business on Facebook. I said, you can't do that. You can't do that. Lord Jesus, touch it. Touch it, Lord. Let it heal. Let it say, why not? I said, no, that's not nice. You can't do that. You can't do that. And I won't name any other conspirators, but there was a mutiny real close. I almost got overtaken. And it's funny. It was funny then. We were laughing about it then. And it's funny now. But how many of you know that's true? If y'all have ever seen Facebook unravel, you know what I'm talking about. And Lord have mercy. It's going to ruin us all. But just be nice. Jesus loves you. And like, that's a dumb thing to say. Like, that's all I got. Jesus loves you. Even if you kind of halfway don't mean it. Most of the time when I look at somebody that needs to hear that, I'm like, Jesus loves you. I don't, but Jesus does. Jesus loves you. The motivation, and I'm almost done. We won't be much longer. The motivation which drives the church. The church is really driven by two major motivating factors, and that's love and loyalty. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord. And next to love is loyalty. Look, again, I can't strive enough that there are things that the Lord's going to call you to do. There are things that the Lord's going to call you to set down, to give up. And it's going to look different for all of us. That's hard. That's not how I grew up, to be honest. I grew up thinking, and I don't know where this came from, but I grew up thinking a long list of rules. And if I broke one of those or if I struggled with one of those, I was out. And then for me, my struggle was to do what I do here, even from a very young age. I mean, you know, if you're 10 years old and playing a guitar and then you cheated on a test, you know, and where I was at, I'm like, that's it. I can't play the guitar in church anymore. The Lord, I'm going to burn in hell. I'm an overthinker, y'all. Can I tell you, if you can't get that list, just love the Lord. Love the Lord, because he has a way. When you love the Lord with all of your heart, he has a way of working on that stuff. Like, I can't. I can look at you and say, man, you really got a speeding problem. And that's not a good witness because you got Oaks Church sticker on the back of your truck. And I won't even put an Oaks Church sticker on my wife's car. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't need that in my life. She doesn't get one. And it's kind of funny, and it's a simple little thing, but it's that way with everything. It's that way. You know, some of us, hey, we might have an anger issue. Anger's tough to conquer because it's our feelings. It's like you just feel it. You didn't, it's not like kicking the door down. You know, I had to think about lifting my leg and kicking the door down. Our emotions are just there. And the Lord will help you with that. This is not even in my notes today, but I want to encourage you. I want you to be encouraged that the Lord, if you love the Lord with all of your heart, that other stuff, it comes. Just don't give up. Stay in the game. From time to time, we have to review these biblical concepts, especially when we're dedicating a building, and we dedicate it to the work of the kingdom. That's what it's about. It's not just about a place to meet on Sunday and see friends and family. It's about, Lord, we need to do work with the tools you've given us. So give us opportunities to do First Wednesdays. Give us opportunities to host revival nights. Give us opportunities to hold business leaders. Give us opportunities to help and serve our community. There's more ways to serve our community than to just preach and sing. There's more ways. Christ will build his church. I want him to use us. But if we won't let him, he will build his church. And the gates of hell, they will not prevail against it. We know that scripture. I want to talk about just a personal note real quick. I want to tell you a story. Because the last couple of weeks, as we got closer to this day, I've had a lot of names running around in my mind. And some of these, probably only a few of you are going to know. And I hope I didn't leave anyone out. But I think I mentioned this maybe our first Sunday here. Pastor David Redout sent me an email. And if you know Pastor David Redout was the first pastor of Evangel Temple after Evangel Temple launched. And if you know Pastor David Redout, he's a funny guy. He's got a really distinct personality. So he sends me an email. Now, be honest with you, I haven't spoken to Pastor David. Oh, it's been a while. I mean, probably 25 years. I've seen him around Facebook, but like to really see him and talk to him. So he sends me an email. This is what it says. May this be your greatest day. There was no, hey man, how's it going? How's it been? It's been a while. And if you know Pastor David, that's kind of par for the course. May this be your greatest day. And he absolutely means it. I thought about this church being planted, this building, the people that built this building 30 years ago. For some reason, I was thinking about Mr. Charles Pruitt. Now, Mr. Charles Pruitt's son is Mr. Chuck Pruitt and Miss Melba Pruitt, David Pruitt's grandfather. I thought about Mr. Charles Pruitt. I thought about Brother Gene Sackman, who was here, Michael Ashbrook, Pee Wee Clanton. Now, I some of these people, first, some of them not with us any longer. They've gone on to heaven. And then some of them I haven't seen in years. Thought about Brother David Mahoney. I'll tell you a story about Brother David Mahoney that, again, I can't tell you how I even know this information. I was trying to think where I heard it, where it came from, and I can't connect all the dots. But I was thinking about Brother David Mahoney. This was the board, as far as I know, that was instrumental in building this building. Brother David Mahoney, originally, the kids' building was not built. When they first built this building, this was it. The one that we're in this cafe, the offices, the rooms that are at the top, that was it. They came along later and built that second building that is now the Kids Worship Center. And then we were able to connect the buildings. They used to not be connected. Some of y'all don't know that. And we were able to connect them, build that awesome lobby out there. Man, that thing is sweet. I love it. And he had built that building. He was one of the driving forces because he wanted somewhere for his grandchildren to be able to worship. Now, that building used to be more of a gymatorium kind of a thing. I mean, we've been able to go in there and just make it really beautiful. And I thought about the seed that they sowed 30 years ago. What a seed to see it here we are today. That there's always a plan. There's always a purpose, but there's always a process. Always. I thought about Matthew 19 tells a story of Zacchaeus. I like this story because it has a song with it, obviously. And I was trying to remember the words. I'm not good at words. Y'all may not know that about me. Some of you do. I don't know the words to any song we sing. I can play them with my eyes closed, but to know the words, it doesn't happen. So I thought about Zacchaeus. We used to sing a song about Zacchaeus. It went, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior came that way, he looked up in that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. Now, when I looked up those words, I said, that is not how we sing that song. We used to say, for I'm going to your house for tea. And I said, we sang that song, my life's devastated. My whole childhood's a lie. We sang that song wrong. That was before the internet, and that's the Sterlington remix, because that's where I was at in children's church in Sterlington. I said, Lord, have mercy, help us. I mean, this changes the whole thing. Not really. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, a rich man. He's short in stature, but he wanted to see Jesus. He had everything that you could want. He had money. He was probably famous for the wrong reasons. Everybody knew who he was. And if you look around, he had everything he really wanted. There's a couple things in that story that jump out at me, and I promise you I'm almost done. It said Jesus wasn't afraid to hang out with sinners. Now I say that real carefully because it's popular to say right now. And the reason that's popular to say most of the time is because Christians want to hang out with sinners so they can sin. Jesus hang out with sinners so they could become saints. So there's a difference. Be careful. When you say that, make sure you say it right. Say all of it. Don't leave that last part out. It was hard to stay the same after you ran into Jesus. What would it be like? We talked about our edification and our education and being the church. What if we were in such a state that when people ran into us? And I pray this prayer because my mind, I tell you, I don't always smile, and somebody has to kind of snap me out of my trance. And I'm like, I need to change that. I want to change that. I really pray that because I want people to see me like we see Kat Etheridge. And she's always, smiling. I'm like, it's so good to see you. I mean, she says that to everybody. And she makes you feel great. My Lord, there's something different about her. Oh, she's right there. I didn't see you. I'm calling your name and embarrassing you in front of everybody. The lights, I couldn't see. Man, we all appreciate. Don't you all love Miss Kat? Aren't you glad when she's out there? So there's something about Jesus' life that drew curiosity. Zacchaeus was curious. He was curious. He had to know what is different about his life. But the way my brain works, that's all good and dandy, but I only wrote those 2 points down for y'all. What I really think about when I hear this story is the tree. Is the tree. I think, how did Jesus know to go that way? Why did he go that way? Then I think, how was there a tree there? Why was there a tree there? Why is there a tree? You know, and y'all are like, maybe some of you are sitting there, you go no further than that, but I go a little further. The growth rate of a sycamore tree is pretty moderate to rapid. They grow about 2 feet a year. So they last maybe anywhere from 50 to 200 years. So, you know, they're a pretty hardy tree. They can last a while. They grow somewhat quick. Sycamore is highly valued for its stately form. It's a pretty tree. It's a shade tree. But I think about if he had to climb up in that tree to see over a crowd, if I just said, hey, the tree must have been 10 foot tall. Let's just say 10 foot tall. And if it grows at 2 feet a year, so they planted it. So that tree had to be planted 5 years before that moment. We could guess that. I don't really have any biblical numbers or study to back that up, but let's just, a tree tall enough to be able to see over people's head and to make it worthwhile for Jesus to say, hey, come down from that tree. He had to climb. So it was more than just a stump. It's interesting to me that Jesus had to go to Jericho. It's a certain town, down a certain path for a certain man sitting in a certain tree. It doesn't make any sense except for that it's Jesus. God's plan to meet Zacchaeus started many years before the morning that he woke up and said, I'm walking down the street in Jericho. Way before he would ever have a personal encounter, that moment started years in advance. It's interesting to me that God laid a certain city to a certain group of men 30 years ago at a certain time to build a building that when an Oaks church comes along and there needs to be a new tree that's planted, we have a place to call home. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is nothing's wasted. Nothing's wasted. I know this morning you came in and we've set this whole morning up as a building dedication, but what I need some of you to know, and God keeps putting this on my heart this morning, that it doesn't matter how you got here. It doesn't matter the path that it took you to get here, to this moment, to this chair that you're sitting in, to this season in life. He knew you before you were born. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows that he's called you out of darkness. He's called you into his marvelous light. All you have to do is come out of that tree.